I don't know about you, but the excitement already, amen? The last couple of weeks, whether you realize it or not, you've been hearing music from the cantata. So I hope that you will come and hear it all together next week during the worship time. Also want to remind you, the week after that is Christmas Day. We will not have Sunday school that morning, but we will have worship service at the regular time at 10:30. I will be portraying a shepherd that morning. I will come in dressed in costume, and you will not see me. I'm hoping I'll have plenty of folks that are going to help out with the service, but you'll not see me until it's time for me to come out and share. And I'm looking forward to that, to share the Christmas story from the perspective of one of the shepherds and what they saw and what they experienced. The other thing that I told you that I would say something to you about this week and tell you about is why we lit the pink candle or the rose-colored candle instead of the other purple one. Because I know many people light the three purple ones and then the rose-colored one. There is a reason. There is a reason for the pink one. And it's supposed to be the third candle that stands for joy. I want you to think first about the purple is a combination of two colors. I don't know whether you know that or not, but the purple is a combination of two colors. It is a combination of blue and red. The blue standing for the sky where Jesus comes from, and the red standing for the blood for our sins that need to be covered. And those two are matched together in the purple, and the color for Advent is purple. So during those weeks when we light the purple candle, we're thinking about the Christ child coming, but we're also thinking about our need for the Christ child. Okay? We're thinking about our need and why we need that Christ child. This week, it's almost Christmas. Almost. And that excitement and that joy starts to get a hold of us. And the music that we've had today has given us that feel of that excitement and that joy that's about to happen in 2 weeks. The Christ child is going to come to be with us. And our hearts need to be open and ready for that. You can think about it this way. I've experienced this 3 times. My wife has experienced it deeper than I have. But almost when a child is ready to be born, what happens? There's some excitement. Almost. It may be only a week or two off, but almost. Almost here, and things are getting ready at home, and you may paint the room, and I always advise people, don't paint it blue or pink. Paint it some other color. Even though they tell you what it is ahead of time, it's not always right. Paint it some neutral color, but there's the excitement. And you start thinking about names. And you start thinking about what's going to happen when you bring this child home. There's some excitement for us with Christmas just around the corner. If you have any doubts on mentally how old I am, just watch me get excited about Christmas, okay? Because there should be some excitement about that. Now, the passage of Scripture that we're going to look at today comes from the book of Matthew. It comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 11, and I'm going to be reading verses 2 through 11, and it is about a passage, it's about an event that we find out has already happened. John the Baptizer, okay, those of you that are not used to me saying that, Baptists don't own John, and the first Baptist church did not start with John, okay? The first Baptist church started about 400 years ago, by the way. It did not stop or start all the way. John is called the baptizer because he's the one that's preparing the way and getting things ready by baptizing people. So John the baptizer has been put in prison. So listen to these words that come from Matthew chapter 11. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come? Or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight. The lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been subjected to violence." Folks, I ask you this question, the question that I think a lot of people ask. Maybe they won't admit to asking it, but it's a question that all of us come to a place where we have to ask, and we have to, within ourselves, answer this important question. Is this child who comes the one we can look to for salvation? Is this child who comes the one we can look to for salvation? Now, for those of us that are used to being in church and hearing this gospel story preached over and over again, there should be from us a resounding, ooh. Let's see if we can answer this question. From those of us who go to church all the time, for this question, is this child the one who we can look to for salvation? Our answer is always, but I want you to understand there's a lot of people in our world that don't know how to answer that question. They have no idea about how to answer it. They may celebrate Christmas year after year. They may celebrate the Christ child coming. They may have a manger scene. But yet they still wonder, is this child the one who can bring salvation? And there may be points in time in our life where we have that same question. You see, it's very easy to say, did John get confused? Because John has already baptized Jesus. And when he baptized Jesus, it said there was a voice from heaven and something that looked like a dove that came down and landed upon Jesus. And the voice from heaven, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." And John knew even before he baptized Jesus that Jesus was the one. Because God had given him that sign will happen. And as Jesus came, John said, "No, no, 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 I can't baptize you. I need to be baptized by you." And Jesus told him, "This needs to be done." John knew who it was, but yet here he is having this same question. Is this child who comes the one that brings us salvation? Folks, I want to acknowledge to you that sometimes in our lives, even after we have made the decision to say, yes, this is the child, this is the right one, that sometimes our hearts go, am I sure? Because of what's happening in the midst of our lives. John was in prison and his death was not very far off. And I'm sure as he sat there, he wondered, is this the one? And I want to acknowledge it's okay to ask that question. It's okay to wonder. But here's what we have. We have reports of what people have heard and seen. We have reports. Jesus talks about it here when he talks to John's disciples. He says, the blind receive sight, the lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cleansed. The deaf hear, the dead are raised, and good news is proclaimed to the poor. I can tell you of situations in my life over and over and over again when God came into the midst of my life and set things right or better. I can tell you about how God saved me. And I went before an altar and knelt to accept Jesus Christ, asking for forgiveness of my sins, and the blood of Jesus Christ was poured over me and washed me cleansed. Clean. Forgiven. And now I can stand in God's presence as one of God's children. We hear reports all throughout history, not just from the Gospels and the Bible, but we hear reports of all different places about what God has done. How people have heard God, how people have seen God, and how this Jesus Christ is the one who has saved them. We have all those words. We have all that that comes to us and shows us this is the one. And yet we live in the midst of a society where 50% of the people say it's not worth coming to church, reading your Bible, praying, believing in Jesus Christ. Folks, that's the world we live in right now. But we have heard time and time again, and I've heard from people after people about what great work that God has done. You see, John also shared the story about the coming of the Messiah. John shared that story to people, and he told them, he says, you've got to get ready. You've got to be prepared. You've got to grab a hold of what is going to happen. John and Jesus were cousins, by the way. I wonder what it was like growing up with the two of them. Did you ever think about that? What was it like? God Almighty and the one to announce him. I think deep down within their souls they knew. And John over and over again was probably told the story about his incredible birth. About him being named a name that doesn't even exist in their family. But the angel Gabriel said, you will name him John. And Zechariah said, yes, we will name him John. And everybody there said, what? You don't have a John in your family. You can't name him that. And Zechariah sings a canticle, a song that day, and says, this is the one who comes to prepare the way. This is the one who gets people ready. And I hope John has gotten you ready in your heart by preparing a way in front of you, a way that gives God entrance deeper into your life, causing you to think and causing you to pause. I'm having to catch myself many times getting too busy this season. Getting too wrapped up. And I keep seeing more and more people getting wrapped up in this season. And they're missing the glorious event that's getting ready to happen again. I know that Jesus has already been born and he will not be born as a child again. But folks, I can step into that story and I can allow that thing to happen over again within me. I can allow John's words about get ready, prepare the way. I can allow Jesus' words about what has been done. I can allow all of that to prepare me and to get me ready for this season. But if I get busy trying to figure out how to wrap a gift, If I get busy going, oh, I cut the paper wrong again. Let's see, how many pieces of tape do I need to fix it so I don't have to cut another piece of paper? Amen? The paper is extraneous anyway. I don't know why we buy it. Just put everything under the tree. Folks, if we allow all that to start wrapping us up and we don't pay attention to the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, and we don't pay attention to the peace that the Christ child brings us, and we don't pay attention to the incredible joy that we can have because the Christ comes to save us, we'll miss out on what the season's about. We will miss out. It's nice to have parties. It's nice to have fellowships. It's nice to have gifts. Amen? It's nice to have all those things. But don't miss out on this child. I'm still overwhelmed week by week as I sit and think about this. The God Almighty, awesome and all-powerful, comes as a baby. Comes as a baby and says, I need you to take care of me and raise me up. That's overwhelming to me that God made that choice to come that way. Mary had to take care of him. I do believe that the baby Jesus probably cried at times. I do believe that the baby Jesus probably stayed up half the night at times just to cry. Those of you that have babies will say amen, huh? God comes in that way, and God says, I want you to take care of me and raise me up. And God, on top of that, asks us to believe that this is the one that will save us. That's an incredible story, isn't it? That's a shocking story. Don't let all the wrappings of Christmas cause you to lose how shocking the story is. There's an exciting thing about John the Baptizer, though. John was not looking to make his own kingdom, but to point to the one who would bring God's kingdom. John was not looking to make his own kingdom. Matter of fact, when they came to him and they said in the third chapter of John, when they said, hey, look, that guy's baptizing more people than you are. And John basically said, glory to God. Because it is necessary that I decrease, that he might increase. This is the one. This is the one who comes to save us. John was not worried about his kingdom and his take in this world and what he could get out of it. He was worried about preparing the way. Once I've thought about this story and especially about this scripture, I realize that it's when we let go of our pride and ego, plus we open ourselves to God's Spirit, then we lower ourselves to the place that we need to be. When we let go of our pride and our ego, and we open ourselves to God's Spirit, then we actually lower ourselves to the place where we need to be. You see, Jesus said first, there's nobody greater than John the Baptist. And then he followed that up with a statement and said, however, whoever is lower than him is greater. And folks, sometimes we need to set aside who we are, what we want and what we desire. We need to set aside, and I had to learn in my life that I could not save myself, and that would never happen, no matter how hard I tried. And I had to set that aside to say, I need this Messiah who comes. I need this child who comes. I need this God that chooses to walk into the midst of our life and break into history to save me. Here's the sad thing, though. There may be many people in our world that set up a manger. There may be many people who come to look at a manger. And the baby Jesus never grows any older in their lives. It's always the baby Jesus. For you see, after Christmas goes by, they don't think about the story again. They might think about it at Easter. But a lot of people don't think about the details at Easter. They don't want to think about the details because that was a hard time. That was a time that required a lot out of Christ. And I'm not sure I want to go through and think about all the details because of who I am, that needed to happen. As I stood here last week with the bread, and breaking it, this baby Jesus needs to be broken so that I can live. It's not just about the manger. It's not just about coming to that place and seeing the child, the baby Jesus. It's about letting that child grow in our lives and allowing that baby to become a child, to become a teenager, to become a young adult, to become an adult that willingly gives over his life so that you and I can live. The sad thing is Christmas is an exciting time for many people. But it's a time that the baby Jesus never grows up. So here's what I ask you to think about for this week. Will you seek to prepare a place for this coming child to grow into a full adult in your life? Will you seek to prepare a place for this coming child to grow into a full adult in your life? It's only as we allow this baby Jesus to grow up within us that we truly have salvation. We can't just stop at the manger and celebrate. Between now and Easter, we'll be walking through Jesus' life in the lectionary. And as we walk through Jesus' life, we will talk about the things that are going on for him. And we will see him grow and see him teach. We will see him heal. We will see him bring people to peace and wholeness. And we will see him say, Lord, take this cup away from me. If there's any other way for your people to have salvation, I don't want to do what tomorrow brings. And then on the next day, we'll see Jesus say, I give my life because I want to. Will you allow this baby Jesus to grow in your life? Are you preparing a place for that to happen?